Blog Talk Radio.
That the Playboy comedy Mr. Trey Love is in. Today is July 26th, Friday, 2013. I will be doing my podcast today, y'all. An hour worth of just updates and hollering at y'all from 2 o'clock to 3 p.m., 2 p.m. to 3 p.m. I just want to start by saying a lot of what brings me back, y'all, to getting on my podcast, you know, first of all, I want to give a shout out to, you know, ladies such as Lakeisha Harris, Mia Hernandez, you know, Monica Hughes. Just people that have helped me build this podcast to so many listeners, y'all. I mean, the archive listens is in the thousands. And, I mean, I'm you know, we all put things out there, you know, and as entertainers try to see, you know, what's our best market. And I must say that this podcast has really taken off. So to all the listeners, to all the people that have been part of what's going on here, I'm going to say this, man. Handsome Life is about to go into the millions as far as numbers, man. We've already reached 100,000 spins or better on this podcast, and it's getting crazy, man. So I just want to shout out everybody that listens, everybody that's part of what I'm doing, part of the movement, you know, part of supporting Trey Love. Man, I really, really appreciate each and every one of you from the bottom of my heart. I'm going to get to some more shout outs a little later, but I want to talk about something that, like I said initially, what has me back online doing a podcast, you know, sharing my voice with my people is the obviously, you know, I put it out there, this show is dedicated to a young man we've all come to get to know. Some of us have gotten to know as far as how we feel, and others have gotten to know as far as they feel. I don't want to make this out in any way to be a racial issue, because this is an American issue. This is a issue of justice. That's what this is an issue of. And I want to say that there has been an injustice in the United States of America, in Florida, a place that I wasn't born there, so I learned in college that I'm not a native, but I was raised in South Florida. I was raised in many different parts of Florida. My father went to the military when I was very young. You know, I tell people always try to figure me out. Well, I was born in Chicago. That's why I always rep Chicago. I'm a native of Chicago. My mama was born there. That's where I'm from. That's where I stomped. That's where I really got to know really who I was, because that's where all my relatives are from and are currently. But I moved to South Florida, Homestead Air Force Base, for some of you old heads, prior to that hurricane coming down there and tearing it up. I think it was Andrew back in the day. My father was stationed at Homestead Air Force Base, and that's where I was raised initially. You know, I went to Miami. I was schooled in Miami, raised in Miami, loved, lived, learned in Miami. You know, a lot of sapa say nabale to my Haitians and nabule to my Haitians, and shout out to my Cubans, yo. Oh, yeah. You know what I'm saying? Holla at them, man. But, yeah, I also spent some time, you know, I don't hide from my past and just different things I've dealt with, because, you know, as a kid, sometimes we feel, you know, it's our fault. We end up in situations. But, you know, I come from a pretty rough background in childhood. My father was an alcoholic, and, you know, I ended up in foster care for a few years. And when I was in foster care, I was in a place called Clewiston, Florida. I went to another place called LaBelle, Florida. And these places were very, very close, within 50 miles of Sanford, Florida. And that is where young Trayvon Martin lost his life. This story with me really touches home because, see, something that I've experienced, literally being on my bike, riding down the street and going on my way home, you know, in a back rural country town, and have had white people in Florida ride by and call me nigger and say nigger in their car and ride by and say nigger. But, you know, that's one thing, you know, because words, you know, they hold their weight. But when you take it to the level that George Zimmerman took it to, you know, the young boy had Skittles people, literally Skittles and tea, sweet tea, on his person. There was no, see, he was not a threat to society. He was not in the middle of committing any crime. He went to the store to get Skittles and was on his way returning home and was stalked, assaulted, and murdered by George Zimmerman. Now, when I thought about it initially, when I heard the story, being a United States Army veteran, being a upstanding member of my community, I'm human, I'm not perfect, but I believe in the American system. You know, I know it was built on the backs of slaves. I understand that. But I'm a new age thinker. I try to give America a chance. Like, you know, things have changed since the 60s and 70s. You know, it's not as bad as it once was. And, you know, I try to see it like that. I try to see it from an open-minded point. You know, I'm always defending this country. I'm always defending, you know, different things we do because, you know, it's my country. It's the country that, you know, regardless of how we some of us feel, you know, this is where we live. And I always say to people, if you have that much of a problem with the United States, please pack your bags up and leave. Go for it, because the grass may look greener on the other side, but I'm trying to tell you, we live in a very, 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 very great country. I'm not going to take anything away from the United States as a country, but as a whole, and it's kind of like one bad apple can make one bad apple can spoil it for the whole bunch. As a whole, as an entirety, you know, some places really do need to do work. As an African-American man, I'm really tired of feeling a certain sense of ridicule, a certain sense of not belonging, a certain sense of being observed a certain way. No matter what, when you see that I'm a black man, it goes a certain way regardless. And I'm working on something right now that has to do with not just racism from other races, but within the black race inner racism. We're going to talk about that too, you know, in another show. Inner racism, this house Negro, feel Negro, this dark skin, light skin thing. Because I think it's really an epidemic. It's an awful thing, but it's true, it's real, it's reality, and it's the world we live in today. But back to the point that I'm making, when I heard about what was going on, in my head, I'm like, I know for a fact George Zimmerman is going to be found guilty. I was not even worried about it. I was kind of honestly assured that he was going to be found guilty of, like people are saying, of something. They were going to find him guilty of something, be it manslaughter, be it second-degree murder. He was going to be guilty, found guilty of something. When it came back, ladies and gentlemen, you know, my listeners, family, everyone within the sound of my voice, that this man was found not guilty. Words can't express how sad I was for the family of Trayvon Martin. Words can't express how disappointed I was in the American judicial system. I'm going to say straight up, Florida, the whoever the people were on the judge, the lawyers, whoever, because I'm not going to sit here and lie and say I watched everything, because I didn't. I didn't watch because I was so sure after the crimes that had been committed and everything that I saw, the young boy with Skittles and a T, there was no way humanly possible you guys were going to find him innocent. Unfortunately, you did. You found him not guilty. And, you know, I've been listening to the Steve Harvey Morning Show. I've been listening to Al Sharpton. And I did my part and went down to the federal courthouse this past Saturday to basically boycott the decision to bring federal charges up against George Zimmerman, because there's no way that this man, this beast, this murderer, this killer, this lynching of this young boy, of this 17-year-old child, he's a child. The lynching of a 17-year-old child is going to go unpunished. You know, there's this thing going around, what if George Zimmerman was black and what if Trayvon Martin was right? Everyone, and it's ironic that the reality is, of course, it would be an open and shut case. Nobody's even questioning that. So where are our rights, black people? What are we doing to better our lives? What are we doing to make sure that this type of injustice doesn't happen? Well, I don't like the way some of us handle the situation. Black people, Dr. Martin Luther King taught us one thing, if he didn't teach us anything else, and God rest and bless his soul for what he left to us as an example. And you see, they even murdered him. But what we have to do is we do have to pick up the bloodstained banner, and we have to force these people to see our rights, not violently. To my people that's down in the Crenshaw District in L.A. that were rioting and, you know, doing a vandalism and things like that, that's not the way to go. We're only stirring up more trouble. You know, we're asking for problems, and we're asking for continued ridicule of our community. But what we got to do, guys, is we got to listen to Al Sharpton. We got to listen to Steve Harvey. We got to listen to Barack Obama, because they are just as angry as us. Barack Obama said in a speech, put so eloquently and beautifully, he said, I was Trayvon Martin 20 years ago, 30 years ago, you know. With that being said, I know every black male in the United States of America, I can't speak for every black male in every country, because I think that in the United States of America, this is the country where blacks are treated with such disdain. In other countries, not saying that it's better, but I can't speak for another country because I'm not there. But I know that in our history, the only history they teach black people is that we were slaves. That's the only history we have. The best thing we have is roots. We don't have anything else beyond that. They don't show us in the light they should as pharaohs, kings, queens, presidents, leaders, mayors, doctors, lawyers. That's why if there's anything that Louis Trayvon Smith can do, I will be an example to the youth. I'll be an example to the entire race. I will do my best to be an upstanding member, citizen in my community, to show these black young men that you can be an example, you can be better. And see, here's the thing, not to be bragging on my resume, But when I hear people say, it ain't this, it ain't that, it ain't no jobs, we're in a tough economy, I did 4 years in the United States Army. I've obtained a 4-year bachelor's degree. And I work hard and get up every single day. I exercise. I do my best to eat right. When I talk to people, I'm trying to be good to people. I don't steal. You know, I'm human. I make mistakes. I'm not going to sit here and act as if I've never told a lie or I have never stole. I have never did anything wrong or bad. I'm not saying that. But what I'm saying is through the grace of God, I'm still here today, able to be an example and thanking God for the life that he's given me, because I could have easily been a Trayvon Martin. When I was riding my bicycle down the street and a car full of white people rolled by me and said, nigga, they could have easily gotten out, abducted me, and killed me easily. And what I'm realizing is God is so good and I'm so blessed. They would have gotten off with it. Why? Because I'd have been just another dead nigga. Hate to say it, but that's just the reality of how this thing goes. So I want to say to young Trayvon, and I want to say to his family, first, I want to say to Trayvon, young man, may your wonderful, beautiful soul rest in peace. And I hate that you had to go through such a tragic and awful and scary death. But, young man, know that you are our example. You are our light, so to speak. We will uplift you. We will uplift your memory. Just know that. Know that in the next place that you are, I pray that God blesses you with peace. I pray that God blesses you with more abundance in your next life than you can handle, young man. To you, man, just know this, all of us, not just black people, but people as a whole. It was a lot of white people at the rally, too, I want to say, this past weekend. And that's why I think I want to make this a black and white thing, because I've even seen white people have issues with what happened to this young man when they flip the script and imagine it being their child. So I want to thank everybody who support. And I want Trayvon Martin in his next life to know that there are so many people that know that you were wronged and justice will prevail. God grant me the serenity to accept the things I cannot change, the power to change the things I can, and the wisdom to know the difference. To Mr. George Zimmerman, I want to say this. Realize that what you've done has put a disdain in this entire country, in the world. And you're going to have to pay. No one says that it's going to be a violent type of thing where you have to pay. But it's a thing called karma. There's karma. In this life, you're going to have to pay for what you did to that innocent young boy on his way from the store with Skittles and a Arizona soda. We're going to get back to this a little later because I do want to give a shout-out to his parents and want to just say to his father, we are all behind you 100% to his parents because, ladies and gentlemen, I do have some good news. They did get a federal case open against George Zimmerman, and I want to thank all the people that stood up. We did it, y'all. We got them. We at least got something federal going. Now, I want to play this next song for Trayvon Martin. Also, I want to play it for a friend of mine. There's a young lady named Tanjanika Pinkston who, I mean, I go back years with her. We were friends back in 2007, 8, you know, before I moved to Los Angeles. And actually, she helped me to move here. We did a show together in Chicago. She produced it, promoted it, you know, at Sonya D's Club at the time. And I just found out, I think yesterday, day before yesterday, through a mutual friend of ours, that Tanjanika was no longer with us, and it really took me by surprise because this young lady was full of life. She had a lot of zest to her. She had a lot going on, but unfortunately, she lost her life in a motorcycle accident, and they said it was, I just heard from my buddy Calvin out in Chicago that it was back in, I know I looked online, their actual date of death was 2010, but he said she was on life support for a couple of months. And I just want to say to my friend, man, I mean, God sure took one, girl, because you was here. You were full of life, full of zest, had so much going for yourself. And to her daughters, man, she has two beautiful, beautiful daughters, man. I just want to say to you, you girls are in my prayers. If you need anything, you know, Calvin told me he was going to get over there to Henry's mother's house and check on those girls, man. And I hope he calls me when he gets there, because, man, it's just a hard thing to accept, you know, to know someone, you know, intimately, and to know someone, to be close to someone, and then for that person to pass away. You know, I've seen it happen to friends who lost people that I didn't know, and I would just kind of sit back like, ugh, I never want to experience that feeling, but I unfortunately have had to experience that feeling, you know, because now someone who I know and knew very well has been taken from me in this life, and not dying of cancer, not dying of old age, not dying of, you know, things you would normally expect, but just a freak accident. And it's ironic because I emailed her, and when I didn't get a return email, you know, people get busy in life. You know, you think, okay, well, maybe she's busy, you know. But, yeah, I found out why I didn't get an email back. She had just joined the Navy. And actually, we were really good friends, and I talked her into going to the Navy. She was following in my footsteps, joining the military. So to hear that she did finish boot camp, you know, and that made her a veteran, and more power to her. Shout out to you, Tan. You made it through the Navy, man. I'm so happy for you that you were able to do that. But I'm so saddened by losing you, and I pray for your mother. I pray for your father, your stepfather, your kids, and to us, all our friends, man, the Chicago crew that hung out together, man. This song goes out to Tanjanika L. Pinkston and Trayvon Martin, and I hope anyone that's lost, anyone that's listening to this, just take a moment and just reflect on the fact that you are here with life, and wish a beautiful transition to the ones who've gone. We'll be right back, y'all.
How do I say goodbye to what we had? The good time that made us laugh, I'll wait back. I thought we could.
Tune in and tell a friend that the Playboy comedy Mr. Trey Love is in. Yo, man, that was It's So Hard to Say Goodbye by Boyz II Men, man. That song goes out to young man Trayvon Martin, and it also goes out to my good friend Lost, man. Ever since my boy Cal told me, man, it's been one of them things. It's been a crazy, crazy moment, but I know that if something must be good on the other side, because, hey, don't nobody come back, you know what I'm saying? They say Jesus came back, but well, ain't no witnesses. You know what I mean? They didn't have it on tape. So believe none of what you hear and half of what you see. So if you didn't see it for yourself, you don't know it to be true. Keep that in mind. But do have faith. You know, I'm not trying to knock anyone's faith, but just the reality. You know, it's just something about accepting things. I actually have a special guest on the line, man, good friend of mine, man. He wanted to call and give us his feedback and his feelings on the acquittal of Mr. George Zimmerman and the obvious open and shut case should have been murder of Trayvon Martin. Welcome to the segment, y'all, Mr. Photographer to the Stars Extraordinaire, Donald Caraway. D, what's happening with you, bro?
Oh, what's going on, brother?
Man, I'm chilling, man. Sitting here just trying to wrap my mind around what's going on in this society today, man.
Man, and you know what? You know, it kills me to see how things are unfolding, especially out there in Miami. I mean, they got so much stuff that's hitting the news. Like the lady who, you know, gave a warning shot to her husband because he was kicking her butt. You know what I mean? She get 20 years.
Right.
The police choked out this 14-year-old boy in the park, you know what I'm saying, and made him piss on himself. And then, you know, they got this other guy, you know, accusing this little young boy for robbing his house and shot him dead in the middle of the street.
God damn.
Now, Trayvon Martin thing, you know what I mean, they said stand your ground law, but that wasn't what it was. It was self-defense. Okay, you got a 17-year-old boy walking down the street, and you got this grown man following him. Now, if the guy get out of his car and approach the kid, he don't know you from Adam or Eve. What happened to his self-defense law? He was protecting himself from a stranger.
Exactly.
But after
you know what's crazy about this? It's funny exactly the way you're breaking it down, and that's why even trying to do this show and talk about it, because it makes no sense. That's the killer of this entire thing. It makes no sense. I don't see how in anybody's courtroom, in anybody's United States of America, in anybody's world, I don't see in any way how they found George Zimmerman innocent, not guilty, of killing this young, unarmed boy.
It doesn't make any sense, but after, you know, time went on after the trial, it came very apparently clear how that happened. As, you know, they can find all the information on who did what, who was there, who was talking, this and that and the other, but ain't nobody saying nothing that George Zimmerman's dad is a judge. A Freemason judge. I don't have to say no more on that one. Throw the sign, you know what's up. That's how he got
I've been a Mason since. I'm going to say this, and I'm going to defend Masonry. I can't defend the law. I can't defend judge. But I've been a Mason since, I've been a Mason almost 20 years. I started traveling. I went through and became a Mason at Product Lean Lodge number 620, Texas jurisdiction, when I was in the military at Fort Hood. And currently, I'm an active Mason. Active means I'm currently paid up. Not one of these brothers talking about he a Mason and he's not in the communicating with his lodge and working with a lodge. I'm currently with Sons of Moses Lodge number 1 out in Long Beach, man, and we have a beautiful lodge, man, a beautiful jurisdiction out here, man. And I'm going to say this about Masonry. I'm going to say flat out, him being a judge and the connections he has everything to do with that. But Masonry, that's like if he was a Q-Dog or if he was in another fraternity. I wouldn't put it on Masonry as much as I would just flat out say it. I don't have no restrictions on my radio. It's just some bullshit, flat out. It ain't got nothing to do with Masonry. It ain't got nothing to do with nothing. It has to do with the fact that this is bullshit. It's bullshit that they found this man innocent of killing this child, period, point blank. So, yeah, his judge and he's a connected person and stuff like that, yeah, but I'm not going to, you know, put that on Masonry. I'm going to put that on flat out bullshit.
Right, right. But, you know, still yet it's still a thing. You know what I mean? He has the juice to pull, and he pulled all his juice cards. Got his son off, but at the end of the day, you know, like you say, karma's a motherfucker.
Oh, yeah.
And it's coming.
Oh, yeah.
I mean,
he's going to pay the same for everything.
And you know what really kills me is that, you know, the Black Panther Party out there, they put out $1 million bounty on this guy. $1 million bounty. You get him, bring him to us, we give you $1 million. And then, you know, like, what you going to do with him now? Well, we're going to take him to a police station. What if they say they ain't going to take him? He couldn't answer the question. You know what I mean? So it's like, dude, you putting yourself out there and you don't know what you're doing.
Right.
You know, shut it down. Let nature take its course, because it's got a course. It's coming.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah.
But, you know, only thing I can say is, you know, Florida, you know, you got a clean house. You know what I'm saying? Stand up for what's right. The rest of the world will follow.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean? You got a clean house. They got to get it done. I'm not saying, you know, go tear some stuff up. Let the progress go forward. Just like Stevie Wonder, he made a statement. I'm not going to perform out there until they change this law.
Right.
And Kanye West and Jay-Z jumped on board. Frankly, Beverly May jumped on board. And the latest one to jump on board now is Chaka Khan.
Wow.
So there's a movement that's been made that is positive. If we can't get you from the law, we're going to get the pocket.
Yes.
You want to clown us, so you clown the entertainment. We won't give it to you.
Well, see, that's the thing, even what made me come back, D, because, you know, I've been away for a while, man. You know, I took some time off to, you know, just kind of regroup, reflect, reinvent myself, you know, in the game. But what made me come back and do this particular podcast and why I'm going to even come back is because there's so much going on. A lot of us entertainers, we get so caught up into the business of what we're doing. We get so caught up into the acceptance. You know, we want that white crowd. We want that white dollar. We want that prestige. You know what I'm saying? We want prestige all over. We're hunting for fame. You know, we're hunting our next gig. But anybody that literally can't say, wait a minute, hold on, this is some bullshit, and stand up. That's why I do appreciate Barack Obama, and even in his position. You know, his hands was tied. He couldn't say nothing the entire case, because people kept saying, I wonder how Barack feels about it. You know, it's in Florida. So people don't understand. Barack's hands were really tied. He couldn't just go down and say, hey, you know, he's guilty, you know, because that's not his job. He's not a judge. He's the president of the United States. So he has to oversee all of the stuff that's going on. So, again, like I say, that's why I put out there that I didn't want to allow Masonry itself to be blamed instead of George Zimmerman's father, who's a crook, George Zimmerman, who's a killer, you know what I mean, and all of those people who are responsible. It's not Masonry that's responsible. George Zimmerman is single-handedly responsible for running up on that kid, stalking that kid, pulling that trigger, and taking that 17-year-old child's life. And for the rest of his life, that's what he has to deal with. And because he's a murderer. He is a killer. And that's what I will always see George Zimmerman. And I will always say that anytime I say George Zimmerman's name, I'm going to refer to him as murderer, because that's what he is. Now, with that being said, I'm getting back to, you know, the things we're saying about Florida, what's going on in Florida. This is what you said specifically. So many cases people are looking at. The lady who fired off a warning shot and was given 20 years in jail for a warning shot. And George Zimmerman has not spent a night in prison for literally taking someone's life. So, you know, you ask yourself, is this fair? It's obviously not fair. But what we have to do is, we can't, black people, to my black folks out there, flat out, you know, that are angry, we can't do things that are going to draw more attention to ourselves. Just like I was talking about earlier, let's be smart about what we're doing. Let's get the education. You understand? See, if a bunch of black men, let's just say a group of us, about 50 black guys, just decide right out of high school, you know what, we're going to build a unit. We're going to build a unit together. We're going to all go to college. We're going to all get our education. And we're going to go to the military for a couple of years. And we're going to keep in touch, and we're going to start working a system from there. Black people are so busy trying to one-up each other, no one wants to allow another one to say be a leader. Everybody wants to be a chief. And that's what's wrong with our race. You look at the way Hispanics work together. You look at the way white folks work together. You look at the way Arabs work together. You look at the way, what's my dude over here? I got a buddy over here. The Ukrainians work together. You look at the way the Hondurans, everybody works together. Black people, we so busy tearing each other up, tearing each other down, killing each other. And I talked about at the beginning of the show, I'm going to have another show on inner racism, because it really only goes on in our race, in the black race. We have this disdain. We know where it comes from. If anyone does their reading, we know about the Willie Lynch letter. We know the effect it's had on us. So what do? We still get up and do the same bullshit every day. So that's why if we're not getting together for all these gangbangers and stuff, all these guys that try to talk all like they hard and all that, were you guys down there at the courthouse at the federal building this past Saturday to go stand up for the rights of Trayvon Martin? That's my thing. If you weren't at that rally and you live in L.A., I don't have no conversation for you. I was there specifically to look and see who are all these people that I meet in the entertainment business, all these promoters that are always pushing their product and, you know, talking about they got the hottest party. Did you send a mass text out? Did you promote the way you promote your little rinky-dink parties on the weekends? Did you promote that we are having a rally for Trayvon Martin? And that's where, as a man, I know that I could not sleep at night without making sure I gave my responsibility, gave my voice to make sure that it, no matter where I go in my career, if I blow up and I'm the biggest actor, comedian ever lived, or if I'm just, hey, a guy that was on TV a couple of times, no matter what, I want it to be known and I want it to be heard that I have a very serious disdain with what happened to Trayvon Martin. And whatever I got to do to stand up to make sure that nothing like this happens again, I'm going to do. And like you say, they're hitting them in the pocket. You got Stevie Wonder to say he ain't going, Frankie Beverly and Maze. That's how you got to do it, man. We got to stand up for our children, man. You know what I mean? So
you got to.
Don, what do you think about? Go ahead.
You don't get it.
No, I was going to let you talk. I was just going to ask you a question about, you know, what do you feel that, you know, in your opinion, how do you think we could go about making change?
I mean, the only way that we can make change if we decide to do it right, get the right people on board, get the right faces in front of in front to be the spokesperson of it. Now, don't forget, you know, goes all the way back to Marcus Garvey to Martin Luther King. Every black man that ever stood up, got in front, they all got killed.
Mm-hmm.
And then after a while, it's like, well, nigga, I'm not getting out there. I'm not going to die like they did. They ain't going to die like they did. Then all of a sudden,
right,
you see, got the 70s come through, and everybody want to start getting high, and they get lost. Everybody's lost.
Wow.
So you got the Black Panther Party. They want to deal with violence. We'll be seeing how that turns out.
Yeah.
You got to learn to play the game.
Yeah.
Once you learn to play the
game.
Yeah,
and that's why I'm saying, that's why I even put out there about, you know, brothers getting together and getting some military, getting educated, and then creating, you know, and again, like when you say Masons, that's the group I'm working with. You know, my brothers, we're working mm-hmm. together to do something more unified. You know what I mean? To bring a better name to Masonry. Because when you stand up as a man, and, you know, when I look to people, because, you know, me and my worship master, my lodge, Leroy Wise, was talking about it. You know, when people know that you're a Mason, they hold you to a different standard. You know, people yeah. know that you got a college education, they hold you to a different standard. People know that you're a military veteran, they hold you to a different standard. So my thing is, to my black youth out there, let's do something to make sure that no matter what, when I get pulled over by the police, I don't even pull my driver license out first. I pull my veteran card out first, and I make sure they see that, and I hand it to them. Like, that's not your driver license. Oh, my bad. I just want him to make sure that before he deals with me, he already mm-hmm. knows that he's dealing with someone that is protected by his government.
Right.
You know? Right. So it's you know, there are things that I think we could do. You know, but like you said, nobody really wants to stand in front because the Malcolm X gets murdered, Dr. Martin Luther King gets murdered, even someone that tried to embrace the black race, JFK, was murdered. But I say this. Sometimes, and I do feel you people don't want to die, but you gotta be willing to die for what's right, my opinion. That's my opinion. I mean, if I could get enough people to listen to me, I damn it, I'd stand up and do it again. You know, I'd do it for Dr. King. I'd do it for Malcolm X, because what's not an injustice is an injustice. That's why I made sure that my face was seen this past weekend, because I'm not going to sit back and act like, oh, well, that happened and that happened in Florida and I don't know the Martins. No, those are my people. That's my race of people. And I told somebody, I said, if that would have happened to a Hispanic, boy, this courthouse would have been lit up with Spanish people. Lit up. They'd have been wall to wall. But again, to me, our priorities are so out of whack, man. We'd rather go out, throw a couple of bottles at some stuff and do some vandalism, and that's our way of protest.
Yeah, and that don't hurt. That don't help nobody involved.
Your
point is made, but then again, you're still going to have to pay, you know, pay the piper on the stuff you just tore up. Especially,
you know,
they got cameras everywhere.
Everywhere.
I mean, just like when he was at Leimert Park, that's where it started. And, you know, it ventured all the way down to, like, King and Crenshaw. They all up in Walmart tearing stuff up, going through the park lot, hopping on people's cars. Dude, you're on camera.
Yep.
You're caught. But why are you tearing up something that ain't got nothing to do with nothing? You probably stepped on an old black lady's car, or old Hispanic car.
Somebody's grandma's car, somebody's mama's car, a single mother. You know, look at in your neighborhoods, a single mother that needs to make sure she can get to work, man. It's just ridiculous, man. It's just ridiculous.
I mean, we're struggling hard enough, and we don't need somebody else to tear up our shit. We can tear our shit up on our own. You know what I mean? So it's like, damn, you know what I'm saying? So I'm glad that didn't get too far out of hand.
Yeah, because it could have got really ugly. So, you know, shout out to whoever the leaders were that kind of told them slow down. Shout out to the, you know, I hate even to say this after everything, but to the LAPD for doing what needed to be done to protect our community. You know what I mean?
Yeah. So, you know, like I say, you know, let Florida take the lead. Let them begin the healing and begin the movement,
right,
and the rest of the country will follow. You know, we got something in the works already, as the A-list celebrities are putting the mask down. Like, we're not coming to your state until you change this law. And when other people start getting onto it, and then all of a sudden, it's going to trickle from, you know, everybody I've named up so far just said they protest, they're not going to go to that state and perform. Let the white people get on board with this.
Right.
Let the rockers get on board with this. You know what I'm saying? Okay, you're going to trick it down. Okay, you got some actors that's going to be on board with this.
Yeah.
You got to hit them where it hurts.
Yeah. And I mean, that's the thing. It's funny you say that, because I was thinking about, you know, as this happened, it really did make me think about how to properly protest. And Dr. King showed us something. The thing that made him most famous was that bus boycott. If we take that dollar away, man.
Yeah.
That black dollar is strong, man. That black dollar is strong. The black dollar doesn't get the credit that it deserves, but trust me, they know what the black dollar is and what it means. It's a movie I want to put out there by a man that I met, man, a good brother that I actually had the opportunity to sit down and interview and meet a few years back. The movie is called The Spook That Sat by the Door. The director and writer's name of this movie is Mr. Sam Greenlee. Sam is a beast of a man. You know, if anybody, look him up. You know, he's worked with Robert Townsend. You know, Robert Townsend actually, I think, had something to do with The Spook That Sat by the Door as well. The movie was about a black man who was the first CIA agent. He got in with the CIA. He learned all the secrets, and he came back, and he taught his community, you know, his brothers, how to, you know, the techniques for war and stuff like that. And see, that's why I say, just imagine if 50 good brothers was to get together, man. Just 50. Out of all the brothers in the United States, if 50 brothers was to get together, join the military, go to college, get a degree, get in a good, say, you know, just become Masons, good fraternity brothers, and a 50, just 50 black men put a unit of us together, you know how powerful that would be? Just think, do we have a black organization that has 50 strong black men that get together, or that we're able to hear about? flat out, all we hear about, now you know, is the yayay, the streets, and, you know, this club, and, yeah, it's popping, and, you know, where the girls at, you know, that's what every 50 man is trying to do. All the 50 brothers is either trying to go to the NBA or trying to get a rap record.
Yep. I mean,
are we speaking in our churches? Are we getting together? Are we going to our kids' schools speaking? Are we doing that? No, we're not doing that, man. We ain't got time for that.
I mean, we somewhat, I'm gonna say it like this: we somewhat got lost in the matrix on things that men do instead of things
mm-hmm.
that men want to do.
Right.
You know, once you get to a certain age, all that shit shut down.
You're
a grown man. You want to be called a man, but you're still acting like a boy. Grow up.
Yeah.
You know, responsibility is a motherfucker. And 85% of the cats that I've seen so far, they ain't trying to deal with no responsibility.
Wow.
If it ain't me making my money, going out there and messing around with the hoochies, then it's like, well, I ain't got nothing to say to nobody. I'm going to be at home playing my Xbox.
Wow.
You know what I mean? That old kind of crap. But,
yeah.
You know, don't you remember back in the day when you woke up and you had something to look forward to? Oh, I'm going to go up to the school. We're going to play the game. Or we're going to play football
yes.
at the park. Or we got a game in the middle of the street.
Right.
That's gone. They ain't got nothing to really wake up and look forward to besides going to his homeboy house and trying to make a rap record or try to make a beat.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
And, you know, the ones who's doing it the more positively, going to play their little sport, okay, I commend that. But get that education.
Right.
Don't take the free ride for nothing.
Well, see, here's my thing, man. You know, I want to say this. Brothers need to realize, too, I'm going to put it on out there. Man, all y'all ain't musically inclined. All y'all ain't talented. I'm going to tell you the truth. I ain't trying to be funny or nothing. I'm sitting up watching the BET Awards, and I'm not going to say no names. I'm not even going to say the hook or the chorus of the song because, hey, this is business, and I might end up working with one of these cats. But at the same time, realistically, the talent pool that's out there now, I mean, I was joking the other night at this club I did. Let me shout out Hollywood Bar and Grill, Impresario Group, and not Impresario Group, Impresario Entertainment. Want to shout out my boy Anya. We had a bomb show at the Hollywood Bar and Grill, and I was like, man, you can make a song and it'd be platinum, and you ain't even talking about nothing. Brother, you get on the radio talking about, I'm on the toilet. Oh, I'm on the toilet. Yeah, I'm on the toilet. 2 Chainz, he's on the toilet. No, just and he gonna go platinum. He gonna go platinum. Why? Cause they like to hook, and it's like, and us as the consumer, I wanna say flat out, man, like, y'all don't want good music. I'm not saying there's anything wrong. I love music that has sassiness to it. I love a little cuss and a little sexual innuendos. That's cool. But damn, can you at least give me some good music? Instead, and some good stuff to say. Like, if you really listen to this, it's a song I heard the other day. I couldn't even keep it on my radio. It was just because it was garbage. And here's my thing. The reason why I feel like it's garbage is just like with the comedy game. You look at back in the day when Eddie Murphy, Richard Pryor, you know, cats like Jamie Foxx coming up and through, Cedric the Entertainer, you know, Earthquake, Corey Holcomb, you know what I mean? Mike Epps, not Kevin Hart. These are great comedians. You know, Cat Williams. These are guys that are great comedians. But what happens is the game is so saturated. When I go to a comedy club now, even to work out, and I'm in L.A., I'm in Hollywood, so I got to sit back and wait my turn out here. You know what I'm saying? I'm cool with that. You know, ain't nobody trying to step on nobody's toes, but I know I'm a quality comedian. I write. I'm naturally funny. I've always been booked, class clown. But then here it is. I watch these cats get up there, and these cats are some of the most well-known cats out there, and you can tell these dudes ain't put nothing into their act. They're not even entertaining. You are saturated with a bunch of garbage. So when I get up there, sometimes with all my energy and ready to do it, the crowd's just so used to, oh, dang, he's actually funny. He's actually talented. So it's really hard, and it's the same thing with the music. And I think as African-Americans, we do need to buckle down and find different things to do except try to be a damn entertainer and a basketball player. You know, I want to see more brothers as social workers. What's up?
You know, that's a whole different radio show, right? But you
know,
right? I mean,
yeah.
The meaning of a song, where is it?
Yeah.
Where is the story of the song? Where is it? Everything you got to do with drugs, you know, strippers and dropping it like it's hot. And what's really killing me, this with tweak dance. Dude, what's up with that? Is that dancing?
Man, come on, man. Man, come on, man. What happened?
Show, but hey,
yeah,
it's like they had this on the YouTube clip where these two girls are doing a little tweak dance. Pops came in and seen it, and oh my goodness, an old fashioned one that he gave it to him. Then
man.
A couple of days later, you end up hearing that the Pops went to jail for whooping the kid's ass. But hell, they deserve all that because they was, that video was headed to YouTube.
You know, and it's funny because I'm raising a female child, and she's only one. Shout out to my little girl, Ducey, by the way. But and it's like I'm thinking of like the things that could happen, you know, and you look at how stuff has progressed for the worse. We were just talking about the music has progressed for the worse. Society has progressed for the worse. You know, I mean, it's like we're afraid to do anything. But we're not afraid to get out there. Our girls ain't afraid to get out there and pop that butt. You know what I'm saying? These dudes ain't afraid to get on wax and talk about how many people they killed and how much money they make in flipping dope, you know? But I'm going to get on out of here, man. You know, we're about to close the show. So you got any shout-outs you want to give? Because I got to poke these women, man. And then I'm finna rock them and get them on out of here, man.
No, go ahead, bro. I'm good.
Okay, man. I want to give shouts out to D-Wave, baby mama. I'm so glad you got yourself together, lady. Want to give a shout out to my man, Big Al, you know, for doing his thing. Yo, for those of you who missed my birthday party at the J Spot July 7th, man, it was off the hinges, man. Headliner was none other than Michael M.F. and Collier, as he says. I had my friend come through and show me some love, man. Mr. Tony Rock was in the building, man. Tiffany Haddish came through. Man, I had so many comics on that show. I had Hurricane, Cool Bubba Loke, Courtney Black, Ramona Stevens came through. Man, it was just my boy Romeo Valentine. It was just a plethora of comedians, man. Shout out to my Lodge. My Worst came through, man. Lakeisha Harris, Jay Renee, man. It was just an amazing, amazing party. I got so much love that night. And shout out to Terrell and Chris, man, and Nichelle and Destiny, managers over at the J Spot Comedy Club, man. It ain't nothing but love from Trey Love, and I can't wait to do it next year, man. And I really appreciate y'all taking the time to show me love the way you have, man, and embracing me and my career. Y'all, this Saturday night, 601 South Spring Street, I will be at the Downtown Comedy Club on the show with none other than Mr. Garrett Morris, y'all. What's my girl name? Can't think of her name right now, but it's the British black comedian. She's on the Shaq All-Star Comedy Tour. Shout out to my boy Stevie Mack, man. I'm going to be working with him this weekend, too. He has something going on with Malcolm Jamal Warner. Real, you know, tight little big-time stuff. I think that's about it, man. Follow me, y'all, go to my Instagram, TreyLoveVision, that's TreLuvision. You can go to Twitter, TreLuvision. You can go to Tumblr. Hey, y'all, I just got me a Tumblr. I'm telling you, I'm on this social network. It's the real Trey Love. Yeah, it's the real Trey Love on my Tumblr. And Facebook.com, please, y'all, no friend requests. At this point, I need likes on my fan page. I'm doing different things. I'm gonna talk to y'all about what's going on in the booth, you know, Trey Love working on some films and stuff like that. But I really need numbers on my fan page. So please on Facebook, Trey Love Vision. Let me think. I gave y'all Instagram, Twitter, and YouTube. YouTube.com, Trey Love Vision, TreLuvision. And don't forget to tune in, tell a friend that the Playboy of Comedy, Mr. Trey Love, will be in every Friday from 3 to 4 p.m. I just did this show from 2 to 3, y'all, to do my test, but I'm back, y'all. It's going to be Facebook Fridays featuring none other than Trey Love from 3 to 4 p.m. That's the time that fits, y'all. Schedule got a little busy, you know what I mean? I had to lay back and get that Big Mac Attack Pack Rack back. Y'all know what I mean by that. So with that all being said, man, again, man, shout out to Tanjanika, man. May your soul rest in peace. You and Trayvon Martin. And I'm praying for them girls, man. I hope everything in their lives goes well. But believe me, I know losing a mother is the most devastating punch that you could ever be delivered. So I just want to say to them girls, man, y'all hold on to something bigger than you, because there's nothing here that's going to be able to suffice, trust me, but you have to hold on and be strong. Let me get my pokes real quick, and then y'all, I know some of y'all missed that cut. I'm a rocker. Yo, I swear y'all got to see me on stage. I'll be rocking this everywhere, yo, and people be loving it. I swear. I'm thinking about re-releasing it. Royalty, Kathy, another Kathy, Sharon, these are all the pokes, ladies. I hope you're listening for your name. If not, go back and, you know, people that, just remember, I will not say your last name, only your first, because I don't want to get you in no trouble. Denisha, Giselle, Candy. It's her, it's Amina. I thought it was Ammonia. Girl, I almost said your name, Ammonia. Rainier, Faithful, Linda, Penny, Jamila. How you doing, Jamila? That's my girl. Bridget, Goddess, Gloria, Carmen, Shannon, Candace, Miss Sky, Portia, Arlene, Kat, Sonia, Stephanie, Francesca, Ramona. See, I got a lot of women on me. Yo, I've been away for a minute. My bad, ladies. Butterfly, Leote, Angelica, Takia, Miss Raw, Elke, Radiant, Faustina, Rita, Tia, Teddy, Sharifa, Tambusha, Simone, Nisha, Mary, Chevette, Sherry, Melinda, Alexandra, Shannon, and Alexis. Y'all better tune in and tell a friend that the Playboy Comedy has been in. Catch me next week from 3 to 4 p.m. Same bat time, same bat channel. Yo, I'm back on, y'all. This podcast is going to be hot. We're going to be dealing with so much, man. I got a book coming out, y'all. Getting ready to do a relationship seminar. Going to be more relationship shows. That's the stuff y'all love from me. So I got to give the people what they want. Y'all catch me out there in Web World. Like I said, I'll see some of y'all Saturday night. For those of you who I don't see, man, much love. That's from the heart, man. And y'all keep it pushing out there. This song goes out to everybody, man. 1, 2, Trey Love. That's it. Have a hot, hot weekend from me to you. Peace.
LA, Vegas Connect, baby.
When I see you in the club, I'm bothered from Trey Love. Baby, say you know what's up. Baby, let me do my stuff. I'm a rocker. My claim to fame, towards mine, you do same. Show up, show out, show no shame. It's all enough for everybody. Get up, get down, and on the party. Big Bacardi, let's get naughty. Big fun, coast to coast, LA, shorty. ATL, MIA, can't forget. Shoutown, baby, anyway. This beat is sick, rap a chick. Take her pick. If she sexy, give her it.
I'm a rock.
I'm in the club,
I take a drink, then I think to the telly, rub my belly, put your number in my silly, grab a hand, say let's go, cause you know I got a show, you gave me some, but I won't go, make your body shake and quiver, good loving, I deliver, freaky, I got mirror, can I make it any clearer, bring your sexy over here, to see my friend, but I ain't with her, don't you worry, you just hurry, got a match so I can marry me into you, that's how I do in a few, I pursue, I think Trey loves you.
Damn, what?
Just a thought, maybe fact, maybe fiction. Right now, I'm on a mission, like a fighter with bad intentions. Did I mention?
I'm a rocker.
When I see you in the club, I'm the bottles from Trey Love. Baby, say you know what's up. Baby, let me do my stuff. I'm a rocker.
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 It doesn't matter, your wish is my goal. I will shock your soul, bust hard like a revolver, in bed, the problem solver, like a crackhead. I'm a rocker,
I'm a rocker.
I'm a rocker. I'm a rocker.
Hey, I gotta get these folks out the way real quick, man. Some of these ladies over here showing love on my other page, Comedian Trey Love. Like I said, please send your no more requests, like my fan page, Trey Love Vision. Simone, Michelle, Shirley's, Ann, Desma, Carmen, Sylvia, Judith, Renee, Sean, Stephanie, our Alicia, Artivia, Jamie, Yale, Yaya, Kim, and Debbie. Man, this is Trey Love. This has been another episode of Handsome Life Radio. Trey Love, POV. Tune in, tell a friend that the Playboy Comedy has been in. I'm out. Number love, yo. Catch y'all on the next one.